This is Washington Watch with Tony Perkins, your daily voice in Washington, D.C. on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. And now, here's your host, Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Washington Watch. Coming up, in an attempt to stop President Trump's cabinet nominees, the Democrats didn't show up for work today. Senator John Barrasso from Wyoming is here with the details in just a moment. Also, the Boy Scouts of America may soon be a case study in the demise of cultural institutions. Fox News' Todd Starnes explains. And will lawmakers in North Carolina repeal their public facility safety bill? Survey says it's unlikely. Despite the boycotts and protests, the state continues to see economic growth. CNBC moved North Carolina from number 9 to number 5 in the ranking of best states for business. North Carolina's Lieutenant Governor Dan Forrest is here a bit later. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it is at TPerkins. All right, my thanks to Dr. Piper for filling in yesterday. I was on Capitol Hill yesterday evening for a meeting with senators that are a part of the Values Action Team, kind of working on the agenda of the values issues moving forward in the 115th Congress. I was back up on the Hill earlier today discussing the repeal of Obamacare with the Senate Majority Leader. I'll talk a little bit more about that later. Also, President Trump set to announce his selection for the Supreme Court. A lot going on here in Washington, D.C. But first, while I was on Capitol Hill this morning, Democrats were throwing a tantrum of sorts, refusing to attend the committee hearings where a few of the president's nominees were slated for committee votes. Republicans, though, have vowed to keep trying to get votes to advance the nominations of the Treasury Secretary, Steven Mnuchin, and Health Secretary nominee, Congressman Tom Price. Well, joining us now is Senator John Barrasso of Wyoming. He has a long and distinguished career in both medicine and public service. In 2012, Senator Barrasso was reelected to the United States Senate with over 75% of the vote to represent his home state of Wyoming. Senator, welcome to Washington Watch.
Well, thanks so much for having me, and thank you for your leadership this past summer when we worked together on the Republican National Convention's platform. You were just a stalwart star of that platform committee.
Well, thank you, Senator. I at the time, I knew it was important work, but I had no idea how important it would become, because this election, actually, at the end of the day, on Election Day, this election was about party platforms, which you were the chairman of, and I am very proud of the platform that the Republican Party put forward.
And now I'm counting on Donald Trump to, as president, push forward on the things, and he's doing it right now with regulations and repealing so many of these regulations that President Obama has come out with even after the election. The Obama administration came out with another 198. But I'll tell you, I think Donald Trump has nominated a first-class, all-star cabinet, and I'm proud of all of them, and we're going to fight to make sure every one of them gets confirmed.
Well, let's talk for a moment about Congressman Tom Price. I've worked with Tom for a long time. He's another physician like yourself. I mean, wouldn't this be a pretty remarkable feat to have a doctor, surgeon, actually, at the top of the organization, the entity, the agency that oversees health care in this country?
I think it would be very important, and that's why I'm so supportive of him. He was an orthopedic surgeon, practiced in Georgia for a long time, and even at Grady Memorial Hospital in Atlanta, taking care of a patient population group that he knows needs to be served, and that's what puts him in a position that he should be Secretary of Health and Human Services when we're trying to provide care for people, not just give them Medicaid cards, which is what President Obama's thoughts were, but that doesn't get the job done. So Tom Price is the right one to know how to get the decisions back home to the states, which is where they're best. Tom was in the state Senate in Georgia. I was in the state Senate in Wyoming, and we just both always felt that we could do a lot better with the same amount of money if we had the local control of the decisions rather than Washington's one size fits all.
So could not
Tom
agree
knows
more.
That, and big government people fear that.
Yeah, I could not agree more. I think the solutions to many of the problems facing our nation are best approached at the state level by the state leaders who are closest to the people and very responsive. But there is there's a little bit of a roadblock on the way to the nomination. We now have Senate Democrats who refused today to come to the committee hearing so that there would not be a quorum and Congressman Price could not be voted out. What's next?
And the same thing with Mnuchin. We're going to continue to hold to plan scheduled meetings to see who shows up, and we have alternatives around it. But, you know, I'm expecting the same thing tomorrow at the Environment and Public Works Committee potential with Scott Pruitt, Attorney General in Oklahoma, and I know, you know, from your roots, you know that part of the country very well. Yep. He has been so rock solid, and I'm chairman of that committee now. But I think we're going to see this kind of obstruction throughout, and then it just shows you what we're going to expect when President Trump tonight makes his nomination for the Supreme Court of the United States to fill the seat of Justice Scalia. It is, that is going to be, we think, probably the most influential thing we do this entire year, which is confirming a conservative justice to the Supreme Court, and mark my words, we will get it done.
Well, it was interesting. I was meeting with Senator Mitch McConnell, Majority Leader, this morning, and he reaffirmed that they will get the president's nomination, his nominee for the Supreme Court, confirmed. Didn't say how. Said he would be confirmed. Didn't want to go into the details. I take him at his word. As I've watched him over the years, he doesn't go out on a limb and say something unless he's going to deliver. So I feel pretty confident that you will, in fact, confirm the president's nominee. But let's talk about it here. Tom Price, very qualified man, support of his Republican colleagues. I think feared, as you pointed out, by some of the liberals, because you're right. He will move back to a market-based, patient-centered healthcare system. He's put forth his own replacement plan for Obamacare back when he was in the House. So, how does the Senate, how far back? First off, how far back do you go to see this type of obstructionism taking place, and then how do you overcome it?
Well, I don't think we've seen this before, and the reason is Tony, that, remember, it used to take 60 votes in the Senate to confirm a cabinet member, but you'll recall Harry Reid used the so-called nuclear option a couple of years ago to force through some of President Obama's nominees who we were blocking, which says now you only need 51 votes. So in the past, if you couldn't get 60, they couldn't get through, but now with 51, once we get somebody to the floor, they're going to get confirmed. We're not slowing down. We're not stopping. We're going to continue to call the meetings, hold the meetings, making sure all of our members are there. We will get, I believe, each one of these cabinet members confirmed. It's an all-star team. It's exactly what Donald Trump needs around him as president. And, of course, the Democrats have a double standard. When Barack Obama came into office, by this point into his term, he's had about 20 members of his closest circle, the cabinet and others, already gone through the process and approved. Now we're at only 5. And we'll get Rex Tillerson, I think, tomorrow. And we're just not slowing down. You can only do so many at a time, but we will get these out of committee and we'll get them to the floor and we'll get them on the job. And the Democrats just seem, for every day they can slow things down, they think they're winning a victory, but they're not with the American people nor with the country.
So, Senator Brasso, what can our listeners do, or is there anything they can do to be helpful in this process?
Well, they can. They can call because I'll tell you, we're getting swamped with calls from the opposition, and whether it's coming in against Betsy DeVos, who I'll tell you, and I served on the Republican National Committee with her a number of years ago. She is so solid. She's going to be so good for education. And just as Tom Price scares those people who, you know, or the big government people, Betsy DeVos, I believe, scares the teachers union, because she's going to be focused on the students, the children, rather than the teachers who are focused on, you know, so hard to reward a good one or sack a bad one in a system in the big cities of this country. And when you see that the teacher of the year in a state gets laid off because they had to protect some poor teacher who's just been a member of the union longer, mm-hmm. You know, that's not good for kids. That's not good for education. So there, we are getting swamped with calls to tell us to vote against people. We'd love to hear the calls. I mean, I know it's not going to affect my vote, those calls, but there are some members, I think it would help to have the Democrats hear from people in their states and say, hey, look, I like this nominee by President Trump. I like Tom Price. I like Betsy DeVos. I like Scott Pruitt. I think that would be helpful.
Well, we will certainly put that out there and have people call and add their voice to the mix, because I think you're absolutely right. We've seen the protest here in D.C. starting with the day after the swearing in, and they really haven't continued. I was up by the Supreme Court last night, and they were there protesting the president's executive order. So the left certainly not taking a break, are they?
No, they're not, and that's why it's important for the meeting you had with the Values Action Team last night. I talked to Roy Blunt today. He said he had joined you last evening for that. I think it's very important to stay very active and vigilant. We won the election on Election Day, much to the, I mean, it's unbelievable. These people don't believe that they lost on Election Day, that the Democrats thought they were going to take the Senate, thought they were going to take the White House, and I think they're still in a state of shock. But we can't rest on the Election Day victories. We need to continue engaging every day, fighting every day, because they're going to try to put sand in the gears. You know, President Obama came out with all these regulations after he was a lame duck president, right, and not quite out of office, still in the White House, and it's just more sand in the gears that they're trying to slow down Donald Trump and his all-star cabinet.
One final question for you, Senator Barrasso. Going back to our first topic of discussion, the party platform, the GOP party platform, probably one of the most conservative, solid platforms in party history. How much of that do you anticipate is going to be accomplished in the next 4 years?
Well, I want to see all of it accomplished. We'll see how much you're able to get done. But, you know, being from the Rocky Mountain West, I'm so focused on energy issues related to government regulations, the waters of the United States, and then as a doctor, the healthcare components of it, all of which are very critical. And, you know, you and I know we talked to Donald Trump before the convention. He was very supportive, and as you know, one of the national papers called it the most conservative platform in over 100 years, and I'm proud to have been part of the team that put that together for our party and our country.
All right, Senator Barrasso, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon.
Thanks for your leadership, Tony. Sure appreciate it.
All right. Senator Barrasso of Wyoming. To find out more, go to the website, TonyPerkins.com. Yes, he was the chairman of the platform committee. I was a delegate from Louisiana. We've talked about it many times. But it rotates every 4 years. The next cycle, it'll be a member of the House, will be the chairman. Then it goes to a governor, and so it's like every 4 years it changes. But he was the chairman, did a great job, actually, very efficient in running the process. So I'm hopeful, too. In fact, historically, almost 80% of what is in those party platforms is accomplished by the party. That would be a great feat. All right, you're listening to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins, the website, TonyPerkins.com. Still more to come. We're going to be going to talk a little bit more about the repeal of Obamacare, kind of give you the insights on that. And, of course, the president tonight going to be announcing to the nation his pick to replace Justice Antonin Scalia. We'll probably save that till tomorrow night and talk more about that. But we got plenty here to talk about. Also, North Carolina, the left pushing these boycotts, trying to force the legislature to change their public safety law as it pertains to gender in bathrooms. Well, the amazing thing, the state's economy continues to grow, creating more jobs. The state's moved up from 9 to 5, from 9th in the country to 5th with the strongest economy, best place to do business. The Lieutenant Governor from North Carolina will join us later. But when we come back, the Boy Scouts of America have opened up its membership to now include transgender individuals, boys, girls. A conservative commentator says it's time for the church to sever its ties with the Boy Scouts. We'll talk with Todd Starnes from Fox News after the break. Don't go away.
Hey, do you want to go on a vacation with a purpose? Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association and American Family Radio. A lot of people love to go to the beach. I'm one of them. How about the mountains? Yeah, a lot of folks are raising their hand right now when I say the mountains. Well, this year, why don't you go with us on a spiritual heritage tour of Washington, D.C. and Mount Vernon and have a vacation with an educational and a spiritual purpose. If you'd like to go with us in June or September to D.C. and Mount Vernon, or our separate tour to Williamsburg, Jamestown, and Yorktown, we'd love to have you join us. Just find out all the information at spiritualheritagetours.com. Stephen McDowell of the Providence Foundation will join us as our historian, and he'll be commenting all along the way on our rich Christian heritage here in the U.S. We hope you can join us, spiritualheritagetours.com.
Dan Celia of Financial Issues.
Would you make one of the most important phone calls that you can make as far as your economic, your financial stewardship? I believe that permanent income is incredibly important to us, especially when you're retired. Listen, one thing we know for certain, the consumption of goods and your cost are never going to change. Make sure that you protect your income. Social Security, you will likely have maybe a pension. Add to permanent income with a charitable gift annuity and do the Lord's work. There's no better organization to do it with than the AFA Foundation, and no better time in our economy than right now.
Call and speak with a representative of the AFA Foundation at 800-326-4543, extension 345.
The Rapid Response Arm of 8 Days of Hope is responding to tornado victims in Hattiesburg, Mississippi. On January 21st, a tornado severely damaged hundreds of homes and killed 4 people. Will you please volunteer to help Hattiesburg residents? Here's 8 Days of Hope director, Steve Tiber.
We need your help today. I mean, it's that simple. We're looking for people who just want to serve others. You know, you don't have to be super gifted. Every disaster gives an opportunity for a believer to share a glimpse of Jesus Christ. You know, the best sermon I ever heard was the one I saw. We're just there to love others as God commands us. And here's where you and I get to be the hands and feet of Jesus Christ.
To volunteer to help with Hattiesburg Tornado Relief, please visit 8daysofhope.com. Financial donations are also needed to support this ministry effort. To give, please visit 8daysofhope.com and pray for this relief effort and for the families affected by this devastating tornado. 8 Days of Hope is a nonprofit Christian ministry.
Back to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. Glad to have you with us on this Tuesday afternoon. All right, maybe this sounds familiar to you. On my honor, I will do my best to do my duty to God and my country and to obey the Scout Law, to help other people at all times, to keep myself physically strong, mentally awake, and morally straight. I remember that oath. That was the oath of the Boy Scouts of America. I can't imagine that they can continue to claim that as their oath. In 2013, the organization opened up their pup tents to the homosexual scouts, and then 2 years later to homosexual scout leaders. Well, yesterday they announced that they're going to admit biological girls who said they were boys. Here to help us sort through this new policy change is Fox News commentator and conservative columnist Todd Starnes. Todd Starnes, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Hey, Tony. Thank you so much. Great to be with you this afternoon.
All right, Todd, there is a progression with the LGBTQXYZ agenda. Whatever it is that they seek, it's never enough.
No, it's not. It's not enough. And they want full and complete allegiance to their cause. And if folks believe that the slippery slope has been reached, I don't believe it has, Tony, because beyond the transgender movement, on the horizon you have the non-binary and gender fluid movement, which specifically would mean you could be a Boy Scout in the morning and by the afternoon you could feel like you're a Girl Scout. So there's really no such thing as male or female. So these are some of the challenges that the Boy Scouts are going to be facing in the coming days.
But, I mean, isn't it kind of, I mean, how are they going to keep the name Boy Scouts? I mean, isn't that in itself, isn't that discriminatory to use the term
well,
boy?
Beyond that, Tony, you know, they're allowing girls who identify as boys to join, but are they going to let girls who identify as girls join? And if they do not, could that possibly be a form of discrimination?
I mean, this is really quite crazy. I mean, and the Boy Scouts have been around for over 100 years. It was designed to be a way to train young boys, get them to prepare themselves for manhood, and with in the back of their mind of the organizers, to prepare them for military service. That's what it was about. And it's been doing a great job through the years, and it has withstood attack after attack. But in 2013, the organization capitulated to these voices, minority voices, but loud voices. The Scouts have continued to lose numbers in terms of boys joining the Scouts. Where are they going?
Well, they're going to organizations like Trail Life USA, which is a Christ-centered scouting organization. This group was formed right after they began, the BSA began allowing gay scouts to join. Tony, we checked with Trail Life USA last night. They said nearly 30,000 young men are now a part of that that organization. More than 700 troops in 48 states. So what that tells me is that moms and dads and churches are very alarmed at what's happened with the Boy Scouts, and they want to be a part of an organization, a scouting organization, that stays true to the faith, and that's certainly what's happening with Trail Life USA.
When you look at the Trail Life USA, I mean, this is an organization where, you know, as you said, it is Christ-centered. As I see it, and as I've been familiar with it, I mean, it's essentially what the Scouts used to be back before they capitulated their core values. But a lot of scouting packs are at churches. So how can churches continue to be associated with the Boy Scouts of America when they have embraced this crazy anti-biblical agenda of sexuality?
That's a very good question, because it would make sense for a lot of the mainline Protestant groups that are far left and barely churches. But to be honest with you, some evangelical churches are standing firm. As a matter of fact, as of just a few minutes ago, I haven't seen any statements from any of the major denominations weighing in on this particular issue. And I believe this is one of the major cultural and ethical issues and religious issues of the day. Just think about this. When you go and we posted the Boy Scouts statements in the column that I wrote at FoxNews.com. And what they're telling us is that after more than 100 years, the Boy Scouts have decided that they can no longer rely on body parts to distinguish male and female. I mean, this is simply outrageous.
A couple of years ago, it would have just been unbelievable. But what we've seen, the progression we saw under the years of Barack Obama and his rapid push of this sexual confusion, it's not so it's not so surprising. It is alarming. But what is alarming is what you pointed out, that there are churches that are sticking with this, and I don't know that they understand how this could compromise them in other areas if they allow this redefinition of gender and sexuality in one case. This could very well compromise other areas of the church as well.
Tony, I write about this in my new book coming out next week, The Deplorable's Guide to Making America Great Again. And I specifically use the Boy Scouts as an example of this, and how it was not over when they let gay scout troop leaders in, and it's not going to be over when they, now that they've allowed the transgender kids in. They're going to keep going down this path, and it's almost as if they're trying to deconstruct gender. And ultimately, I think it does put churches in a very, very unusual and odd predicament, which is why, again, so many churches and so many Christians are flocking to groups like Trail Life USA that are going to stand firm in the, stand firm in the faith.
Todd, before we run out of time, and we're almost out of time, tell me more about your book.
Really excited about this one, Tony. The Deplorable's Guide to Making America Great Again. This is a handbook for Christians to take back their country, to restore traditional values. And quite frankly, we can't rely on the Republican Party to do it for us. We can't rely on President Trump to do it. We're going to have to do it in our homes, in our towns, in our churches, and our schools. And this book shows you how to do that.
Well, I'm going to buy a basket of those books.
It took a lot of deplorables to write this book, Tony Perkins.
All right, Todd Starnes, thanks so much for being with us.
Absolutely. Thanks.
All right, folks, check out the website, TonyPerkins.com. Follow links over and get a pre-order of Todd Starnes' book. Deplorables. You'll like it. It's good. All right, when we come back, the Lieutenant Governor of the state of North Carolina joins us to talk about their economic growth despite the boycotts. Don't go away. We're right back after this.
Making the most of your money, here's Dan Celia.
Well, we did get some economic data coming out this morning. It was consumer confidence. This is the government consumer confidence number. And by the way, this is a January number, so we are out of 2016. So consumer confidence number missed expectations. It came in at 111.8. So just slightly missing expectations on consumer confidence. But listen, that is not the reason that numbers are down right now or the markets are down. Apparently, markets are concerned about political uncertainty. Political uncertainty? I hope they're talking about the liberal side of politics right now, apparently wanting to hold everything up. I hope they would not be talking about 12 days into an administration, but nonetheless, I suppose they could be. I find it amazing that in the midst of 8 years of the most politically uncertain time in the nation's history, they, after 12 days, are finding some political uncertainty. But this is a market that was going up in the last 8 years because of the false positives created by that political uncertainty. Also, another thing that could create a stir is Iran apparently testing ballistic missiles, which is in violation of the Iranian deal and certainly could be looked at as a provocation and a reason for President Trump to trash the Iranian nuclear deal.
Experience Dan Celia in person. Find a faith, family, and finance town hall meeting or seminar near you at afafoundation.net.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. Glad you're with us on this Tuesday afternoon. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it is at T Perkins. All right. Back in December, North Carolina lawmakers declined to repeal HB 2. That was the bill, the public safety bill that, prohibited the local governments from forcing businesses and other entities to adopt this gender-confused bathroom policy. Now, they refused to repeal it, and the state has been the target of boycotts and all kinds of crazy stuff. Well, a recent poll finds that a majority of North Carolina lawmakers think that it is the identity that's on your birth certificate that should continue to determine which bathroom you use. So, in other words, they're not backing down, and for good reason. As we see, despite the boycotts, the North Carolina economy continues to grow. Joining me now with more is the governor, Lieutenant Governor of the great state of North Carolina, Dan Forrest. Governor, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Tony, it's great to be back with you. Thanks for having me on.
Well, let's talk a little bit about these boycotts. They appear to not have worked because, as I reported earlier, NBC reports. Hold on, let me get my notes here. CNBC, I'm sorry, moved North Carolina from number 9 to number 5 in ranking of best states for business. You ended the fiscal year with $425 million. In surplus. What's going on?
Well, I think there's a lot of liberal heads exploding out there over this too, trying to figure out why in the world that something like this could possibly happen. They've spent probably $100 million in the state of North Carolina to try to defeat our governor and our legislature, and passed all kinds of false narratives around about how our economy was failing in North Carolina, and there's absolutely no truth to it whatsoever. I think that the vast majority of people across the country, one, Tony, just are not, like, tuned in the way that the left is tuned into this issue related to transgender bathrooms. And certainly the C-suite of most of these companies when it comes to the bottom line and where the best places to do business and the best place to raise a family and all these rankings that we're number one in across the country year over year. They see that and they know that, and they know that this propaganda campaign by the left and the human rights campaign and all these folks is just that. It's a propaganda campaign. So I think people see through it. But more importantly, as you started off with, you know, we're holding strong so far. I mean, the resolve has been good here to say, you know what, there is no way that you can tell me or any of us that doing the wrong thing is ever going to be right. And so we're holding fast here, which is a good thing.
Well, that I think as you look at the numbers, and this is where they tried to hurt North Carolina. I was trying to, you know, the boycotts drive business away. But when you continue to see that the pro-growth policies that the elected leaders had put into place, that it's working. And it is not, in terms of the policies are working, the boycott is not. This should send a message to other states to do the right thing when it comes to the safety of the public.
Yeah, and I think, you know, across North Carolina as well, the vast majority of North Carolinians agree with that. I mean, obviously, you're aware that, you know, my campaign, me personally, we stood on the front lines of this issue for quite some time, not because we wanted to, but because Charlotte forced our hand on it. And so we stood strong on this issue. I was the highest vote getter in North Carolina, and outperforming the president and the gubernatorial candidates. First time that's ever happened. So you really can't look at that issue and say that it was a loser for North Carolina politicians. It wasn't. And the truth is what you said. We have been doing the right thing with the economy for the past 5 or 6 years in North Carolina. Our economy has been growing. We've been putting more money in the people's pockets, and we've been doing the right thing related to business, regulatory environment, and those types of things so that businesses can hire people and put people to work in our state. So it is working.
Well, I think this is a perfect example, Governor Forrest, where you can deal with economic issues, regulatory issues, and the moral and the social climate of the state. You can do all of that at one time, moving your state forward. North Carolina, I think, is a perfect example of that.
Yeah, I really think it is. You know, it's generally the left, Democrats on the left, that are telling you, oh, don't, you know, you can't deal with social issues, don't touch social issues. And yet everything they try to push through is a social issue in some form or fashion, while we're truly dealing with the economy, we're truly dealing with education and trying to get all these things right. But yeah, you're exactly right. I think what people really desire, Tony, is to stand firm and to stand bold for what is right, no matter what the consequence is. And I'm going to continue to do that. The consequence doesn't matter to me. This is the right thing to do, and we're going to continue to stand strong.
Quickly, Dan, the state of Texas looking at adopting a very similar policy because they've had liberal jurisdictions pushing these gender-confused bathroom policies. But they're holding up North Carolina saying, oh, look, they lost business. It was an economic loser for them. And they're trying to use that to influence lawmakers there in Texas to back away from this.
Yeah, listen, I'm not going to say that nothing has happened, right? I mean, the left has used the platforms they have through the universities and those types of things to say we're pulling the ACC tournament out, we're pulling the NCAA your tournaments out, whatever it happens to be, concerts, obviously, you know, Hollywood not showing up, those kind of things. So, yes, but overall, no, there hasn't been any overall major impact in North Carolina whatsoever.
All right. Governor, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you, Tony. Have a great day.
All right, Lieutenant Governor Dan Forrest of North Carolina. Find out more, go to the website, TonyPerkins.com. I mean, he's been a stalwart there on a number of issues. When we come back, a couple more things to address, and we're going to go to the phone lines, 866-372-7234, when we return here on Washington Watch.
We all know what it feels like. We try to avoid it. Experts define it as an unpleasant sensory and emotional experience associated with actual or potential tissue damage, or describes in terms of such damage. What is it? It's pain. Did you realize that you probably started feeling pain at a very young age, or even before you were born? Scientific studies have increased our knowledge of life inside the womb. We now have strong evidence that unborn babies can feel pain by 20 weeks or earlier. At Family Research Council, we believe that all babies are worth protecting. We also hope that even those who don't share our pro-life commitment will listen to the medical community and support laws that protect the unborn child from cruel suffering. For more information, visit frc.org/fetal pain. That is frc.org/fetal pain.
Physicians keep learning after medical school in order to better save lives. Shouldn't Christian leaders keep learning to better save souls? Hi, I'm Dr. John Nyhoff, president of Wesley Biblical Seminary in Jackson, Mississippi, and online around the world. Are you a Christian leader who thinks it's important to keep learning? WBS online weekend and evening classes allow graduate students to become better equipped to make disciples in a constantly changing world. For more information, visit wbs.edu.
American Family Association invites you to Fusion, a Heart Cry for Revival conference. It's a trying time for our nation, and we urge Christian leaders to join us as we seek Christ together. We'll learn, pray, and strategize for action. Join us April 23rd through the 27th at the Billy Graham Training Center at The Cove in Asheville, North Carolina. Register at heartcryforrevival.org.
This is a Decency Minute. I'm Bill Johnson. When is an immigrant not an immigrant, or a woman not a woman, or a black man not a black man? When the political left doesn't want them to be. If liberals valued immigrants because of the hardships they face in coming to America, they would be elated to have an immigrant as first lady. If liberals valued women because they've been underrepresented and overlooked in society, they'd defend the rights of women who hold opposing viewpoints to express their beliefs. If liberals valued black Americans because of the atrocities their ancestors have endured in our country, they would have been encouraged when the president met with influential black Americans. Instead, they've turned on these minorities the minute they gave any credence to an ideology opposed to their own. Liberals claim to champion the value of these minorities, but they really only value minorities' support of their own policies. This is a Decency Minute. I'm Bill Johnson.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. All right, couple of things here. Let me talk about, first I'm going to go back to the Boy Scout story for just a moment. You know, I want to be very clear on this because I think that, you know, the path that the left has gone down is defining people by their sexuality. All right, now I understand that we have men and we have women. I get that, but you know we historically have not defined people by their, you know, their sexual appetites, desires, so on and so forth. I mean, I'm a man, but I don't go introducing myself as a heterosexual, and I don't have to, but the point is, I think everybody should be welcomed in society. Free to live and to, you know, if a boy wants to join the Boy Scouts, but yet he might have same-sex attractions, you know, look, those are things, issues that people have dealt with. That's fine. And I think he should be allowed in the Scouts. What I don't think is that, you know, we make all these arrangements and allow people to proclaim that, hey, I'm attracted to boys, therefore I want to be in Boy Scouts. Or I'm a girl and I feel like I'm a boy, so I want to be in Boy Scouts. I mean, look, this is just, there's no end to this, as we're seeing. Everyone should be treated fairly under the same laws, same social standards of acceptance. But, you know, we should not have to change our understanding of biology and cultural norms to accommodate this radical redefinition of human sexuality. That's the point. All right. Now, I want to talk for a moment about Obamacare. And let me give you, first, before I do that, switchboard number. All right. We talked earlier with Senator Barrasso about the nominations that are being essentially blocked by the Democrats by filibustering. call your senator, and, you know, unless you've got some legitimate reason, maybe you've got some issues with some of these folks. I mean, I've raised some issues, not to the point where I would block any of the nominees. I think the question—the confirmation process and the questions, we worked with members of the Senate to ask some questions, worked with the administration to some degree on this. But the Capitol switchboard number, 202-224-3121, 202-224-3121. That's the number to call Capitol switchboard to say, look, I'm from Indiana. I want to talk to my senator. Or I'm, you know, whatever state you're on. If you don't know your senator, just tell them what state you're from, and they'll connect you with your senators. Okay, you got two senators. You got one congressman for your district, and you have two senators that represent your state. So you might have to make two phone calls and contact both of your senators and encourage them to have a vote for the president's nominees, at least have a vote. What they're doing is they're blocking the process by not even coming to the committee. Essentially, they're not showing up to work. They're not showing up to do what you elected them to do, and that is to go to a committee that they're assigned to and have a up or down vote. Tell, if they want to vote against him in the committee, fine, but show up to work and do your job. Here's the problem. They know if they show up, there'll be a vote and they won't win. And so they're trying to basically block the process by not showing up to the committee. President Obama already had a number of his cabinet nominees confirmed at this point in his presidency. Democrats play differently. They do. I give it. They you know, they fight for what they believe. They believe incorrectly, but they fight for it nonetheless. So that number is 202-224-3121. Now, back to Obamacare. A lot of stuff, and I was out, Friday after the march, heading back to Louisiana. And then yesterday, as I mentioned, I was up on Capitol Hill, so Dr. Piper filled in for me. So a lot of stuff happening over the weekend I want to bring you up to date on, primarily on the Obamacare. There's the Republicans are working on, they want to do both the repeal and the reconciliation. I know we've talked a lot about this. But they also then want to do the replace and the reconciliation. Again, the reason for reconciliation is that it gets around the 60-vote threshold required in the Senate, and just 51 votes can get this through. Okay? Now, it becomes problematic in putting the replace in the reconciliation bill, because you're limited. It has to deal with, it has to have a fiscal impact, deal with budgetary matters in order for it to be in the reconciliation bill. So not all of Obamacare is budgetary. So in looking at this, they were coming up with a way to do tax credits and fund, you know, people, their health care choices through tax credits. The problem with that is that there's no way to restrict those tax credits as they would do in a standalone bill from going to paying for abortion. So in essence, they would be putting in place another government subsidy, much like Obamacare, that would fund abortion. So we're back where we were on that issue. Now, granted that the health care delivery system would be better, but we would still be forced with the that moral quandary, or I would say immoral action, of funding abortion, forcing taxpayers to fund it. It would be the same as a subsidy, because a refundable tax credit is, you know, you don't have to reach, it's not like you can just, you just deduct it. It's if you don't reach the threshold of deductibility, the government actually gives you money to cover your cost in your health care. So that is a non-starter. And that's what we've been discussing. And so one of the other action items for you in contacting your congressman and your senators is to communicate to them that there can be no government funding of abortion in the health care plan. Repeal it. And if it takes you a little while, because it's going to take 2 to 3 years to unwind Obamacare, it's not going to go away overnight. Once they vote in the reconciliation bill to repeal the bulk of Obamacare, it's going to take a couple of years at least to wind it all down. So they have plenty of time to come back and put the replace mechanism into law. Now, they will have to hit the 60-vote threshold, but I would think in the Senate, but I would think that, you know, the American public can get behind a good thought-out plan, not a Nancy Pelosi-type plan where you got to pass it, then read it to find out what's in it. But you actually deliberately craft a plan, take the time to have the hearings, move it through the process, and then put the pressure on those Democrats to support it. That way you don't have these unintended consequences, for instance, of the funding of abortion and other problems. I mean, that's just one that we've zeroed in on. So I would encourage you to contact your members of Congress and your senators and give them a call and let them know that you would like them to ensure that your tax dollars will not go to fund abortion. That number again, 202-224-3121. That's Capitol Switchboard. You can reach the House and Senate through that number. I hope you've got it. You should just put this in your phone. Your smartphone should have it in it. 202-224-3121. All right. Some folks sending stuff in on Twitter. If I decide, this comes in from one of our listeners, you know, Tony, if I decided not to show up for work, my employer would fire me. What do we have? Why do we have to tolerate the Democrats acting like children and not showing up for the job I pay them for? What happened to the for the people, by the people? Well, I think they need to hear from you. And some of these senators, quite a few of them, but I know about 20-some Democratic senators are going to be, I think 23, up for election in 2 years. So what do you think about that? What do you think about the Democrats not showing up for work, using that as a means of blocking the president's pick for his cabinet? Let me know. 866-372-7234. Got a few minutes to take your phone calls on that. It is. They're acting like children, throwing these tantrums. They cannot block it on the merits. But this is the way the left operates, okay? You know, they don't want to have the debate over a lot of these issues we talk about because the facts are not on their side. They don't want to have a debate over these nominees like Tom Price, very qualified individual to head Health and Human Services. They don't want to have a debate over Scott Pruitt, a really good man, Attorney General of Oklahoma, who has been tapped to be the EPA administrator. They don't want to have a debate over that because the facts are not on their side. So they simply don't show up trying to block it by obstructing. I mean, that's unfortunately what our government has been reduced to. You know, you need to weigh in on this. You really do. You need to find out what your senators and your congressmen are doing. All right, let's take a call. Let's go to Tennessee where Gail is on the line. Gail, welcome to Washington Watch.
Oh, thank you, Tony. Listen to you every afternoon. Really enjoy the program and all that AFR does to bring me up to speed concerning my America, okay?
Well, thank you.
I've got a concern here, and know the left is always, you know, just because Donald Trump is in the White House doesn't mean that evil has gone away, and the left is going to keep this up. We just have to be as persistent, if not more so, than they are. I've got a question, though, concerning the fact that President Trump did extend Obama's executive order having to do with the LGBTQ special, you know, protection in government contracts.
Yes.
It seems like that we've been forced as Christian owners of companies to be denied our religious freedom in order to qualify, you know, to get these contracts, make a living in our businesses for these contracts. So, you know, it just, the constitutional rights are guaranteed in that First Amendment that says that government cannot prohibit the free exercise of my religion, okay? And so to deny the denial of contracts with federal government under Obama's executive order is just wrong. for any Christian. So I feel like that Vice President Pence and Ms. Conway and they need to get with him, and they need to express to him that if they own a business seeking federal contracts, that they should not be under pressure to deny their biblical beliefs so they earn this living. This executive order is going to cut Christian businesses off at the knees. So your comment.
Well, Gail, thank you for listening, for calling in, and for asking that question. Actually, that was an item I wanted to address and forgot. I shouldn't have, because I've been dealing with it all day, talking with advisors to the president and to the vice president about this. Because you're absolutely right, I share your concerns, and the White House, just to what Gail was saying, let me fill you in on the details here. The White House announced last night, this morning, that they would not reverse a 2014 executive order by Barack Obama and an earlier executive order, which required federal contractors to give special employment rights to people who identified as LGBTQ. Now, the media is abuzz, seeing an issue that could become a wedge issue between the administration and us, one of their key constituencies responsible for their election victory. Now, I disagree with the order. I disagreed when it was issued, stating that it was unnecessary and that people should not be granted special rights based upon their sexual behavior, sexual identity, or anything like that. I just talked about that a moment ago with the Boy Scouts. Now, during the general election, I stated there would be areas of disagreement with Mr. Trump that I would have. But one of the strongest areas of agreement was and remains religious liberty. Now, I'm prayerfully confident that the president and his team will issue an executive order ensuring that religious convictions of Americans are recognized, and in particular that charitable and religious organizations, and not limited to them, but especially those charitable and religious organizations that do so much work with the military in particular, and whether it's substance abuse, counseling, all kinds of services, even some chaplains are contract, that they would not be excluded from providing these critical services to and through the federal government because of a biblical view of marriage and human sexuality. So, Gail, I thank you for asking that question. I share your concern. I have communicated that to the White House. I would encourage you to do that as well. Their switchboard is down, but you can go to the website, the House White House website, whitehouse.gov, and leave them a message and say, please respect religious freedom in government contracting. I will not. This is one of my big issues, is religious freedom. And one of the biggest issues that FRC has come to deal with, and we will not relent on our defense of religious freedom. It's too critical. Folks, sorry, out of time. Sorry I left you all on the board there, but Gail brought up a really important point that I needed to address. Lord willing, we'll be back tomorrow night. I pray you will as well. Until then, I leave you once again with the encouraging words of the Apostle Paul found in Ephesians 6, where he says, when you've done everything you can do, when you've prayed, when you've prepared, and when you have taken your stand, by all means, keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is a production of the Family Research Council in Washington, D.C. For more information on anything you heard today, or if you'd like to find out how you can support the ongoing efforts of the Family Research Council, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our new watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.